Courting Scandal, written by Jama Fixon and read by Lucy Patterson.
Chapter 1. Essentials. London, 1805. Laura knew perfectly well she couldn't expect to be given what she wanted. It was up to her to take it. Just now she wanted money for her brother more than she wanted a dress with long enough sleeves, meat for their table, or candles. Bad enough their mother must sew late into the night in these grim rented rooms. They were used to barely getting by, but watching her work with nothing but the light of the fire was painful. £30 Laura needed, an impossible sum that meant everything. £30 would kit up Jack so he could go to sea with Dr. Drysdale on HMS Leander, a surgeon's mate, a real apprenticeship with prospects, not like his job as an apothecary's assistant, peddling laudanum and patent remedies. Yet here was Jack's letter, drying on the windowsill, saying he couldn't raise such a sum or leave his mother and his sister. Laura set down the bodice she was trimming and traced her finger over Jack's beautiful script. He wrote as stately as a minuet, no matter how cheap the paper, and his reasons were perfectly honourable and foolish. "Express my gratitude for your kind offer. With the greatest reluctance, I must decline." Their best chance gone for lack of £30. Laura pressed her hand over her eyes and held back a bitter laugh. Dear Jack, he would never complain. His life was hard enough without being saddled with a mother and a sister. He must go with Dr. Drysdale. She'd make sure of it.
"I need some air,"
Laura said, even if the air carried the smell of fetid streets. Glancing at her mother, she folded up the letter.
"I might as well carry this round."
She slipped it in her pocket. The letter didn't come up again until they sat down for a hasty meal of bread and beans.
"Thank you for delivering my letter,"
Jack said, mopping the edge of his bowl with a piece of bread. Laura shrugged.
"Figured I might as well save the postage."
Jack accepted this with a grunt. They were accustomed to making do with every imaginable economy, thrice-brewed tea or straight hot water, darned socks and worsted caps, rationing out coal and sharing out a single orange. Laura set down her spoon.
"I still think you should go. We could sell the earrings," she said.
They were the last of the jewellery, tucked away in a faded velvet bag. Maman said it looked absurd, wearing pearls in her ears with a mended dress of printed cotton.
"But what would you do while I was gone? The sewing won't keep you,"
Jack said. Laura shifted in her chair.
"Maman, perhaps you could ask our uncle."
"She will do no such thing,"
Jack interrupted.
"And neither will you."
Laura bit her lip. 9 years ago, when they'd washed onto England's shores, scared, starved and grieving, they'd gone to the Duke. Laura didn't know what transpired, but she knew dukes didn't slave for shillings and wear second-hand clothes.
"Why not? Is he such a skinflint?"
Laura turned to her mother, who shrugged.
"Let it be, darling. Jack's right. Your uncle made his intentions clear, and I don't like to make my sister's life more difficult."
"We're his family."
"Wife's family," Jack corrected. "That's different."
Laura snorted, but beneath the table her fingers clutched her skirts. Jack's letter was in the Thames, not with Dr. Drysdale, and she'd gone to Mayfair this afternoon, not the park. It took all her courage, presenting her shabby self at her uncle's front door, but it hadn't mattered. Her uncle, the Duke of Saltash, was not at home.
"You could go. I've a plan to look after us, Jack,"
Laura said, her eyes on the scratched table. Saltash wouldn't help, and Maman wouldn't ask, but she had one last idea. She hadn't doubted herself this afternoon, but now her stomach threatened mutiny.